Radio Prague News.
The President boosts his popularity ratings, the Senate clears the way for elderly ambassadors to stay on at work, and Amazon faces some Czech opposition. Public confidence in Czech President Miloš Zeman climbed to 59% in December, a jump of 3 percentage points since November, according to a poll published Wednesday by the CCVM agency. Over the same period, confidence in the government slipped 2 percentage points to 44%. The most trusted public institutions are local councils, with around two-thirds of Czechs saying they have faith in them. President Zeman made a controversial appearance together with anti-Islamic activists in mid-November last year. The Czech upper house of parliament on Wednesday agreed to an amendment that the new civil service law be changed to allow ambassadors over the age of 70 to continue in their posts. The change primarily affects two ambassadors, Livia Klausova, wife of the former Czech president and current ambassador to Slovakia, and Eva Filippi, the ambassador in Syria. Her work in Damascus during the ongoing conflict has been praised. International e-commerce giant Amazon appears to be facing problems with its ambitions to build a European centre for returned goods on the outskirts of Prague. The local council at Horní Počernice has said it will take a negative stance against the project and dispatch that to Prague City Hall. Amazon has said it has a target to open a giant hall which would employ around 3,000 people by the end of next year. A Prague court on Wednesday began hearing the case of 16 men accused of smuggling rhino horns into the Czech Republic. 10 of the accused appeared in court and pleaded not guilty. The case against them is that as part of a luxury safari trip between 2011 and 2013, they offered to bring back trophies from South Africa for clients. The men could face prison sentences of up to 8 years if found guilty. The supervisory board of Czech state-owned passenger rail operator Český dráhy will discuss Wednesday the sale of a Plum Prague real estate site. A controversial bid by the Czech-Slovak group Penta has been made for around 15,000 square metres of land at Prague's Masaryk station for around 400 million crowns. Penta has ambitions to build a high-rise business district at the site. And finally, the publishers of a Czech children's comic have apologised to readers after one of their cartoonists drew characters in sexually suggestive positions for a popular story series. Managers at the Štyri Listek publishers said that the creator and artist responsible was no longer employed by them. The artist described the characterisations as horseplay and pointed out that children would not have read anything into the suggestive poses. A poll of readers undertaken by one newspaper found that most said he should not have been sacked. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Zerová. Coming up in today's programme, the Prime Minister's private email correspondence hacked, and why are so few women involved in scientific research? Later on in Marketplace, we'll look at a brewing battle over the reform of Europe's value-added tax framework. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Hackers have reportedly targeted Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's private emails, hacking his address and publishing correspondence online. As in a previous incident, it appears to be the work of right-wing extremists out to damage his reputation. Jan Wellinger has the story.
A fortnight ago, right-wing extremists hacked Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's Twitter account, posting fake tweets in his name calling for a white revolution and labeling migrants an invading army. At the time, the Prime Minister responded by saying the false tweets only proved that he was doing his job well. Now, hackers have apparently focused on Mr. Sobotka again, this time finding their way to private emails in a personal account reportedly with the Czech search engine Seznam. Emails retrieved by the group calling themselves the Nationalist Hackers reportedly included correspondence on everything from political and economic to private issues, from the migrant crisis to Czech oil reserves held in Germany to the Prime Minister's own mortgage. All the same, Radek Holý of the National Cybernetic Security Center told Czech Radio he didn't think news of the apparent hacking was as serious as might seem.
Já bych neřekl, že je to až tak závažná zpráva z pohledu toho, jak často se právě tyhle věci dějí, ale hackři mohou mít tu motivaci různou.
Considering just how often hackers try and get into accounts, I don't think the news is that grim. But certainly hackers can have numerous motivations. Certainly, it might be preferable for someone like the Prime Minister to rely on their work email with better security when it comes to sensitive matters.
Je to běžná, samozřejmě pro jiné pracovní záležitosti je vhodnější používat služební e-mail, který by měl být zabezpečen lépe.
The office of the government did not confirm or deny the apparent attack, but police did confirm that they were investigating the matter. The Prime Minister's spokeswoman, Irina Zatloukalová, meanwhile, revealed that her boss's email wasn't hacked at all, but that someone, somehow, had managed to learn the password.
It's possible that the password was too simple or some kind of social engineering was used to learn it. It's also possible a computer virus played a role.
The Prime Minister is not the only state representative or public figure to have been targeted by potential hackers. In the past, others who have had information stolen and published online include former government ministers for human rights, Jamila Stehlíková and Mikhail Kotsab. Also targeted was the theologian scholar and priest Tomáš Halík.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Moving on now, while the number of female university graduates has been increasing in recent years, the number of women involved in scientific research has been going down. In fact, in 2014, it reached its lowest level since 2001, a little over 27%, according to the annual report of the National Contact Center for Gender and Science. Ruth Frankova asked the center's coordinator, Marcela Linková, about the factors behind this development.
Well, I have to say that we lack a comprehensive research that would answer your question in simple terms, but what we can say is that there are barriers at the cultural level, institutional level, and individual level. What this means is that women are faced with very unfavorable conditions on the academic labor market in terms of firstly combining careers in research and parenthood, but also in terms of promotion to higher academic positions. And then on the individual level, there is a certain tendency for women to opt out of career growth, partially because the conditions and the barriers are so difficult to overcome.
Another thing mentioned in your research is a so-called gender segregation in different fields of research. What exactly do you mean by that?
Simply put, women and men tend to be employed in different sectors of research. So typically we would find men predominantly in technical sciences and engineering and some fields of natural sciences, whereas women would be more represented in medical sciences, in some areas of social sciences and some areas of humanities. And this goes to the segregation in educational career paths. We are basically dealing in research with tendencies that get set already in secondary education level, where women and men tend to be pushed to different areas.
At the same time, I thought that the number of female students was increasing even in scientific areas.
That's absolutely true, and the increases are substantial, but there is still, you know, a far way to go to reach parity in technical sciences and engineering.
Among the goals of the National Policy of Research and Innovation, the number of women involved in scientific research should increase. How can that be done?
Well, I think that the government and, more importantly, research institutions and universities need to start taking a proactive approach, because up to now, the agenda is not even on the table. We can use examples from other countries of Europe and start implementing so-called structural change, which would, first of all, look at how research and teaching assessment procedures are set to eliminate gender bias, how career advancement is structured and conditions for work-life balance are ensured. So there are a number of tried measures that can be implemented, and the question is whether research institutes and universities will be willing to go into this, basically.
Marcela Linkova from the National Contact Centre for Gender and Science speaking there to Ruth Frankova. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, our weekly economic programme Marketplace with Chris Johnson.
This year looks like being a fairly crucial one for Czech Minister of Finance Andrej Babiš and his crusade against VAT fraud in his home country and across the European Union. Babiš will step up his bid for Prague to be permitted wider powers to combat such fraud and has the backing of some other states. The omens, though, do not look overly promising, with the European Commission and Berlin preferring to block the minister's efforts. Tax systems within European countries and between the EU28 are pretty complicated, and that's good news for the accountants and consultancies that make their money from ironing out the problems. But one basic rule for VAT, value-added tax, holds true. Goods and services are charged the tax where goods finally end or services are consumed, but they travel tax-free between EU countries. The result is that two types of goods and services can circulate at the same time in the EU, VAT taxed and VAT untaxed, and that has spawned some incredibly attractive fraud opportunities that are costing individual countries and the EU as a whole tens of billions of euros. One of the simplest fraud scenarios is as follows. An importer brings in goods free of value-added tax and then sells them on within the country with the tax added. But before paying the value-added tax to the local tax office in the country, the company vanishes and the tax payments are never made. With VAT often averaging around 20% in many European countries, this represents a handsome profit. But there are even more refined versions of this tax scam that can and are being performed. Take the first step and then add more companies which take delivery of goods and services, export them and then reclaim VAT that's never been paid in the first place. That's so-called carousel fraud, and the earnings for the criminals and tax loss for states can be enormous. Add a few companies in several more countries to the fraud, perhaps cover it up with some token tax payments here and there, and the fraudsters are onto a definite winner. By the time the authorities have woken up to the scam and act, they are probably long gone. Minister Babiš's recipe to cure the VAT tax blight is called reverse charge VAT. Basically, responsibility for paying VAT is shifted to the buyer from the seller of goods when they are both companies. The buyer might be able to claim back the tax later, but an initial payment must still be made, and this effectively closes the door on the disappearing companies and disappearing revenues. Minister of Finance Andrej Babiš described the extent of the current problem at a conference held in Prague in December, which was attended by his Hungarian counterpart and top tax officials from Slovakia.
The VAT gap is really the biggest problem of all member states of European Union, because yearly we have a VAT gap. It means not pay VAT within the EU around 170 billion euros, so it's more than the European Union budget. And how to fight against this? Reverse charge is very effective and quick mean. Unfortunately, until now we have only permission from the European Commission to apply about 15 items, and what we would like to change is to have this competence. It means in Czech Republic we are losing every year about 80 billion. This is more than our deficit of VAT not paid, and practically we introduce all or most of these 15 items, and we would like to have competence. So we are not speaking about reverse charge for every item, but we are speaking about the competence to decide on some special item on the level of Czech government, not on the level of European Commission. Because if we have, for instance, some problem, we have to go to the Commission and ask for the permission, and usually they don't accept. It takes a very long time. And if we can have this competence, then the Czech government can decide, let's say, within 2 or 3 months, in comparison with the this quick reaction mechanism which European Commission is claiming to have, but it's not working.
One of the minister's main arguments is that so-called carousel fraudsters jump quickly from one sector of activities to another, and the tax authorities have real difficulties keeping up. The fraudsters usually target high-value items. Originally, these items included such things as mobile phones. The fraudsters, though, have become more sophisticated, targeting such sectors as carbon emissions or electricity trading. Minister Babiš, again.
These organized crime, they are acting very quickly, and it's really about the time and the average life. Such a carousel fraud company in the Czech Republic is 23 days. So if the quick reaction mechanism is 6 months, it's a huge time gap.
The minister expects to make a bid this year for Prague to be given the right by Brussels to run a pilot project, which would allow it to rapidly target areas for reverse charge VAT, as the fraudsters begin to exploit them. If successful, Babiš believes other countries could follow and seek similar powers. The timing looks good because the European Commission is also taking stock of how its VAT regime is performing this year and is inviting contributions from member states, tax associations and other experts. But the big problem is that the European Commission appears very lukewarm, at least, about giving more leeway to member states to shape their own tax systems as they see fit. Brussels has a strict mandate to work towards tax unification in the European Union, and moves that conflict with this are simply in contradiction with the treaty. Commission officials point out that some countries seem to have mastered VAT losses from fraud a lot better than others. Across the EU, the so-called VAT gap ranges from around 4% of possible revenues lost to 40%. Finland is the best performer with virtually minimum fraud. At the other end of the scale is Romania. Some of those point out that there is therefore a lot more room for countries to improve their tax collection and anti-fraud procedures within the current framework, rather than opting for wholesale change. Some experts also point out that the United States more or less has a reverse charge tax system, and there the estimated tax gap stands at around 40% as well. And another problem for the backers of the reverse charge formula is that the idea of shifting to this system was raised around a decade ago at European level and rejected. Then Germany stood on the side of those calling for a shift to reverse charge. Now Berlin stands resolutely against it. The difference between then and now is partly explained by massive investments in its tax administration system by Germany to improve its functioning and clamp down on fraud. The German government has now promised companies that no major tax changes will be imposed on them in the future that might involve extra costs or burdens. In the realm of EU tax decisions, all states have to agree. But if Germany is on the other side, you get an even bigger hurdle to overcome. Czech Minister of Finance Babiš nonetheless believes that a growing number of countries, especially those in Central Europe where carousel fraud is rife, now share Prague's conviction that the EU tax landscape needs a major overhaul and reverse charge could be the answer.
We have a support first, Austria and Bulgaria and also other countries. Mainly it concerns this territory of Czech Republic, Slovakia, Austria, Poland, Hungary, Romania and Bulgaria, because this is the region where they operate. And we send a letter for this derogation of directive. It was signed by four ministers of finance. Yeah? It was signed by Slovakia, Austria and Bulgaria.
Czech Finance Minister Andrej Babiš ending this week's edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson. And it brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.